All right. Oh, wow. We play on Monday. Excellent. But right now, welcome to the Evan and Aaron Show presents the Red and the Blue Soccer Chat, live on the YouTubes, live on the Facebooks, and soon to be on the Gram. So that's us. I am Evan. This is Aaron. I am with the Blues of Chelsea. Aaron is with the Red Devils of Manchester United. My friend, just love our theme song. I love our theme song. It's like hype, dude. It gets us, yeah, gets us ready. What's been going on this week? It has been a fun week. Last weekend was fun. Celebrating soon to be Mrs. Blue's birthday. That was good. I'm so happy that you and Mrs. Red came out.
That was a good time.
It was a good time, man. It was a good time. But how's it been going? Everything been good with you?
It's been a solid week. We've been kind of fooled into thinking spring might actually be here.
Oops. I dropped my pen. I dropped my pencil. My penalty pencil. There it is. Thank you.
Can't lose the penalty pencil. No. Actually, as a player, I would love that. Can't write my name down. You can't book me.
Oh, man. Well, you were talking about, okay, so you were talking about it kind of fooled us this week, man. It fooled us.
Yeah, and, you know.
Welcome to Indiana.
Yeah, it's Indiana, and I'll tell you what, I'll still even take what we got today. It was, you know, it was probably 55 degrees out, a little overcast. That's, you know, spring in Indiana, so, you know, I'll live with that. As long as we're into March now.
Jesus.
That's crazy. You know, the rodent didn't see his shadow, so which is, of course, a very, very, you know, awesome and sophisticated and intelligent way of determining the seasons.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's us Americans believing in science. Anyway.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being part of this wonderful time that we have together. And saying that, I might as well. Let's do it. Yeah, here's what I have to say about good old Chelsea. You know, we're hanging in there, and really, that's what I have to say. You know, we beat Leeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still in the FA Cup. That's a good thing.
Not convincingly, but we beat Leeds. Liverpool beat us 1-0 in the final of the Carabao Cup.
Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah. Let's talk about that one.
What did you think of the approach to that match, and especially the decision-making and approach from Park as the match wore on?
I think he has to be a little bit faster. He's got to be a little bit more faster and more confident in making subs. Mm-hmm. You know, Sterling needed to. I'm sorry, I'm thinking this last match. I was going to say Sterling needed to come on in the 60th minute. But when you make and when you have people at your disposal in the Carabao Cup, like you did, like in Nkunku, like a Madueke, these guys bring pace. They bring pressure on the ball. They're able to create wonderful chaos. And I think that you needed to recognize that in order to give us a chance to get back in. Cole Palmer has been a little cold lately. I don't know if that's simply because...
Cold Palmer.
I know, he went kind of cold on us. I don't know if that's because he's not seeing as many touches, you know, kind of going through, you know, just going through the doldrums of, like I said, not getting very many touches or whatever, but he hasn't been himself lately. That match for me... showed Pochettino's kind of, I don't know, the soft underbelly of who he is.
I was going to say, what I wanted to get to is that, you know, it's Liverpool and it's a cup final. And with Klopp going out, you know players are going to play for him. That said, Liverpool had some guys missing and the people that they've been playing are youngsters. Now, let's not get it twisted. You know, these aren't kids that just got brought in off the street. They've obviously been a part of things, and a few of them have been getting minutes recently.
Right.
But to me, the bigger issue was that as that game wore on, and there were a lot of shots, but I didn't recall it being an entertaining match. I don't recall either side really saying, we're going to grab this game by the throat and go for it. And for me, if I were a Chelsea fan, my concern would be that you had a chance to lift a trophy in what is otherwise an unremarkable season.
Yes.
And potentially, you know, it could, who knows? But if you're going to finish 10th, saying that we lifted a trophy is a nice thing to have in your pocket.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you went to extra time against a team of the players that were still on were tired. And any of the subs that came on, while they may have been fresh, they were young and inexperienced.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought Chelsea put out a fairly strong lineup, one of the stronger lineups they have available to them without, you know, obviously Nkunku not being at 100%, and they're clearly slow walking him back into the lineup. But that would concern me. That was my main takeaway.
Here's the issue that I've been seeing.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Here's the issue that I've been seeing. And the problem is for me.
Jesus, I didn't. I'm not Don Jr. and I didn't do anything before this, but I did drink a Turkish coffee, and my God, I am absolutely lit up right now, and it's making my nose run. So, my apologies. Jr. I'm sorry.
It's not a secret. Anyway,
right.
I'm just seeing us like redlining this every single time we're talking.
Yeah, I wonder. But.
It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
We've had times where we've been hot mic on the show. So if that's the case, we apologize.
Yeah, just turn us down, guys.
Maybe give us a ping if you're listening live
and
let us know if maybe we're coming in a bit hot.
Yes. So. Well, here's the thing. The number 15 for me is an ongoing problem, and that's Nicholas Jackson. Jackson had an incredible header, a wonderful header, set up by a beautiful pass by Gusto. He had a chance to beat the keeper, which he did beat the keeper, got around the keeper in the very first couple, like 10, 15 minutes of the match, and could not finish. There were several times that he could not finish. And I am not convinced he's the guy. Do I think that he's a valuable part of our team? He very well could be. He could come off the bench, especially right now. But my question is, why do you not have a Raheem Sterling whenever you can see a Nicholas Jackson struggling to make plays? Why do you not have Sterling fill in that number nine spot as a false nine? It's just going to be. And then bring in a streaking Mikhailo Mudryk, who played well during the Liverpool match, who played well during the match, our last match against, Brentford. He played really well, came off the bench and did well. He did these type of things, and he's starting to get on a streak. He scored in the match with Leeds. Why not ride momentum of Mudryk? Why not utilize the veteran status of Sterling to really solidify that front. And I'm not saying like that's what it's going to be, but it has to be something that has a significant, consistent threat. It's not one of those like, oh, well, you know, 50-50, Jackson, you know, 50-50, they're going to screw this up. It has to be something like a 75 to 80% of the time. If you get someone on Chelsea open like that, they are going to score. And we simply do not have that type of – we don't instill that type of fear. People are still like, okay, they may have a breakaway, but Jackson's got the ball. And for me, that's what really hurts. Axel De Sassi scored a great goal, a nice header to even it up against Brentford. And Brentford's a struggling team. They are a struggling team right now. And I get it that we were at Brentford. But, dude, I mean, you're a team that is trying to be, you know, on the come up. And to have something like that as far as – the lineup piece and not recognizing to bring fresh legs in. It's not just fresh legs. These are experienced legs.
Yeah.
So that, for me, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, I'm with you. And as an aside, we are not burning everybody's ears up. I just checked online.
Very
so,
good. Thank you, sir.
I think it's our...
it's our sensitivity.
Well, it's the... You notice it spikes on... what's the word I'm looking for? The... can't remember. It's when you use P's and S's and they pop. I can't remember what the term for it is, and that will haunt me until after the show.
we need an intern to look that stuff
up. I think we're seeing Pac's limitations as a manager. I think the weight of the role has maybe gotten to him, and the reality is you're not wrong about that, but I think he doesn't have a lot in reserve. And he's not, and he's also not wrong about some of that. There's not a deep bench there, but you're right. He's kind of late to make decisions, and when he does, they're a bit of a head scratcher. When there are players available, so that's got to be a bit frustrating. You have advanced, and you've got who you got coming up on Monday?
Oh man, we have new. We have Leicester. No, that's Sunday. Sunday's quarterfinals. Monday we have Newcastle. That's next Monday. This coming Monday. So that's our next match.
At the bridge. And they're a bit rejuvenated, so that's going to be a tough one. They're going to come to town looking to take a head there.
And you know, Newcastle kind of, you know, hopefully the thing is they remember the last time we played. They beat us. And that's okay. But hopefully they forget that. But then
actually, the last time you played, we beat them on penalties in one of the cups. I think that might have been the Carabao. But
so
I'm not
that
sure.
might be fodder for them to come to the bridge and perform well. Luckily for us, our match with Arsenal at Arsenal was postponed for the quarterfinals with Leicester on Sunday at 8:45 a.m. Sunday the 17th.
Oh, the following year.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. Like, I wish I could say we are here.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you know, how you go on a, I got the perfect analogy. Chutes and Ladders, the old game.
Yep.
You know, where you're thinking you're making progress and all of a sudden you land on a spot where you, you know, it just goes back down. And
I can obviously relate.
Exactly. And so that's where I just think we are. Don't get too far ahead of yourselves, Blues fans. Okay. We're hanging in there. We're doing okay. We're getting points. Even if it's 1 point, you know, we're getting points.
Yeah.
So I think that's what can help motivate us into next season and keep us, you know, kind of, you know, on afloat. So that's what I've got, man, for Chelsea. And I've got something else for Chelsea at the halftime shot. But until then. Oh, man.
Kind of hard to tell City to fuck off home when they were already home.
Well.
I have thoughts, though.
Okay. Let's do this.
You know, I thought it was an entertaining match. It was definitely one of those matches that, you know, as a fan, especially because we did get an early goal, kind of brought hope into the situation, right?
Yeah.
You go into that match, and if somebody would have said, this is going to end 3-1, you'd have been like, yeah, that makes sense. That's probably where we are, and as long as we don't get played off the park, that's a decent result.
Which you did not.
I didn't think so. They definitely controlled the game a bit more than we did. We were there to play on the counter, and we had look, that game could have been 2-0 United at halftime. It could have been 2-0 City at halftime. Rashford scored a banger, and then he had two more opportunities that, you know, one was still pretty far out, but he'd gotten in behind the defense, and if he gets that header correct and gets to run onto it, he's alone with the goalie, and I feel pretty good about Marcus one-on-one with the goalie. The other opportunity, that bit more of a half chance. And you know, a lot of the time you'd think if, as long as he saw it, he would hit it clean, and he just kind of whiffed at it. But it does come over the top of somebody. So, you know, I'm not making excuses. I'd like to see Marcus, you know, hit a couple of them in a game. I think that would be great for his confidence and great for the team. See what I'm saying? But there's, you know, things like this happen when, you know, things aren't going your way. To be fair, Erling Haaland, you know, missed a goal that, you know, on any other day he's scoring. I mean, he was damn near in the goal when he got it and somehow contrived to hit it over, and he had a couple other opportunities. Full credit to City and the way they stuck with the game. They said they have a plan, and we're going to go with it. And apparently the plan was get the ball to Phil Foden. And, I mean, he played great. There's no question. And I tell you what was awesome was you had a Manchester derby where you had two bangers, you know, just absolutely brilliant goals. You know, Foden's second was pretty nice, too. There's your winner. And then, you know, we played poor out of the back. Casemiro, yet again, putting one of his own teammates in trouble. Amrabat really kind of lost on the edge of the box with what to do when the opportunity to just clear the ball upfield was there, especially that late in the game. 2-1, you're chasing it, and the ball lands, gets to Erling Haaland in the box. I mean, the man's going to score a goal.
Right.
Let's pause for that. Little halftime shot. Half-time. Thanks again, once again, to Chatham Tap Fishers, as always.
Shot time.
10 o'clock both days this weekend. No breakfast, but a big, big match on Sunday that could be a title decider. So thank you as ever, ladies. Slantia.
Slanty. Oh, and I'm dedicating my shot to Katarina Macario,
who
scored her first goal for Chelsea in her debut match for Chelsea. Miss Macario, excellent job.
And I don't recall her name right now, but there was a transfer in women's soccer.
Yes.
I believe it was Bay City SC. Signed a women's player for nearly $1 million. So we're closing in. I think the next big player to get signed in one of the major leagues, either in the U.S. or in Europe, is going to be $1 million player.
Whoa!
And that's huge for the game. You know, I know women's salaries are nowhere near on par with men's, but what we've seen in the last couple of years with the Women's World Cup, with the Women's Euro, with Arsenal and Barcelona women's teams both outdrawing the men at times, which says a lot, especially for who those clubs are. This is huge. And
Kudinanji.
Yes, thank you.
Kudinanji.
There's, you know, it's definitely if you build it, they will come. And I think the U.S. women's national team deserves a lot of credit for bringing some high-profile-ness to the women's game, but also, you know, having a women's Champions League is huge. And, you know, we see lots of movement in the women's game. I think that'll happen a little bit less as these salaries are out there, and that's probably good for the game too.
Yeah.
Get some players settled and build some dynasties within the women's game, and maybe some dynasties from clubs that aren't historically noted for such things. I know, you know, West Ham's women's team is pretty solid. West Ham or Villa? Claret and Blue. But anyway, that's my dedication. I think that's huge for the women's game, and we'll talk more about the U.S. women's national team coming up. But back to United, you know, there's been a gulf between the blue side of Manchester and the red side of Manchester in a way that it used to be in our favor, and it's in theirs, and it has been for probably almost a decade now. And as a United fan, that's definitely very, very frustrating. But you can see that the pieces are there. And
I mean, sorry.
They're, whether or not Erik ten Hag is the manager to take this team forward is still a question mark. I don't think Gareth Southgate is. I thought that was a bit of it. I can't believe that.
I was going to ask you, something.
Well, just as quickly as the Zidane rumors started,
yeah,
they ended.
On.
So I just don't believe that's going to happen. De Zerbi is maybe not a bad shout. Tuchel's been mentioned. I'm not a huge fan of that. Nagelsmann has, you know, I mean,
okay,
basically, much like during the transfer window, United get, you know, linked with every possible player that's coming on the market. I think that's the same with the manager. And until we hear more from Ratcliffe, we're not going to know.
But let me interject this. Do you even think that Ten Hag has to go?
I do not. There are a lot of mitigating circumstances to where the team is right now, and a big part of that is injuries, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm really not. But this team's already thin in certain spots. And, you know, maybe because of some poor decisions in the transfer window. But now that he's not going to be, you know, solely doing that, we've got a new director in place. We've got, you know, a plan. I would like to think that Ten Hag gets an opportunity to enact that plan and be a part of it, be part of the discussion. What I will say is he can be criticized for some of his transfer window decisions. Antony has not worked out. I'm not sure you blame Ten Hag so much for that, for him not being able to make the adjustment. What I will blame Ten Hag for is not helping him make that adjustment, not giving him the correct opportunities and kind of throwing him to the wolves a little bit. And on top of that, I just a general criticism I do have of Erik ten Hag is that I don't see really individual players improving under him other than Diogo Dalot, who I think has come on really, really nicely, but I don't know how much of that is Ten Hag either because he was already on that trajectory in a lot of ways. But if, you know, under Pep, that is something you see. Yeah. It is something you see, you know, under these managers. Under Klopp, guys love playing for him, and you see the players improving individually and as part of the setup.
Yes.
And we're not seeing that. And we've even seen some issues. You know, Antony is not the same player that was playing free-flowing football at Ajax. Marcus Rashford at times looks very, very disjointed and not really a part of things. Bruno has had an up-and-down season. I mean, you got to say Dalot. I know that. And that's, you know, it's...
And that's in spite of everything you're saying.
Yes.
Everything you're saying is absolutely
true. And that's why I don't think he needs to go. I think he deserves one more season.
Sure.
But it's a ruthless business. And, you know, Ratcliffe and Ineos, as an organization, are very, very good in the sporting world. They've had success.
Yeah.
And if they decide they're going to go a different direction, then I will try to trust that until I don't have a reason to.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that, once again, it falls back on what we said a lot of times during this season. Ten Hag cannot get out there and make crosses. He cannot get out there and take penalty kicks. He can't get out there and score goals. He can't. Yep. And so you can coach and coach and coach and manage and manage and manage your ass off, but unless the players produce or they're not, or they're gelling together.
It's the Mike Woodson problem.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I really like Mike Woodson. There's question marks, and IU has struggled this year. Sorry to delve into basketball, but you're listening in Indiana.
There you go.
You're paying attention.
Hey, our listenership just went up.
You know? Mike Woodson doesn't take the free throws, right? He sets up an offense to help create foul situations to put guys on the line, and they're one of the. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen an IU team shoot this poorly. So back to United. Yes, I mean, he can't be held accountable for everything, and I personally wouldn't get rid of him. But you know, it is what it is. United have Everton 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. I think that's a must-win game. If they want to finish in the top four, you have got to beat Everton at Old Trafford.
Yes, absolutely.
Otherwise, what are you doing? You got to lay down a marker. And honestly, I don't care who's available.
Yes.
You win that game.
And I think you win. Not that you need to, but I think that if you win that game handily, it's going to be wonderful. Like, you're going to be golden.
I think they could come out and play very well.
That sends a message. It's like, look, we're here. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're still Man U, and we still have that swag about us.
Oh, my God. I just realized something.
Yes?
The Manchester United-Liverpool game is on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh! And, ladies and gentlemen, I will be having a new tattoo on this side of my arm right there. Right there, the Chelsea logo. Yeah.
Excellent.
So that way I can be like, gosh. Anyway, that's going to be a hell of a match, dude.
I think it could be very, very good. With how well they played against Man City,
Stabo.
And it's the quarters, and it's at Old Trafford. I think that's a big deal. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a two-legged tie, but I'm not quite sure.
I don't think so. It's quarters now.
Yeah. I think well, and they don't do two-leg ties for the semis anymore. The very last one was in 99 when Giggs scored that goal. It's a perfect opportunity to put themselves in a position to lift a trophy again for us in a season that, you know, if we don't get top four, will be seen as unremarkable. So,
yep, there you go. And so, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, that's right. The U.S. women play tonight after getting into a Donnybrook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, yes.
After getting into a Donnybrook with the Colombians the other day.
Oh, my.
Who thought it was a good idea to pick a fight with a team that has the daughter of Dennis Rodman on it.
Yeah, let's not do that.
What did you think was going to happen? And, oh, by the way, Alex Morgan's been around the block a few times.
Yes.
And right now, the winner of tonight's match between the United States and Canada looks to be playing Brazil as they just scored a goal.
Brazil.
Very, very cool from that perspective because I think a lot of people were thinking they could write Brazil off from the standpoint of, boy, she had to wait on it, too. We got the game on here, and I gotta say, the Mexican defenders at first I thought she just didn't do anything, but I think she lost track of the ball after it hit her, so that's not on her. But the other defender really should have been coming over, and, yeah, just late. Good goal to get her leg up that high and make sure she doesn't, you know, that's an easy one to screw
you,
over the
I'm
crossbar
tell you
there.
Exactly what happened there. The keeper was coming out to punch it out, but she saw one of her defenders coming in, and she didn't want to hit her in the head.
Well,
and she pulled back just a little bit.
And the Brazilian gets ahead to it, so I don't even know if I think goalie may have gotten a late step to it. But anyway, right now, the winner of USA-Canada would be going up against Brazil as they have a 1-0 lead, but there is plenty of time left in this match. And I tell you, Mexico's come a long way, not just because they beat the United States 2-0 the other night, which, by the way, there were a couple really, really nice goals in that game.
Yeah.
But just the fact that they've, you know, focused on it and improved. I don't know how strong, if it's called Liga MX Feminine or what, in the same way it is in the rest of the world where they have to put the qualifier on it, which seems a little silly. But I'm assuming they're getting a lot of game time on a regular basis, and you can see how it's improved them individually and as a team. So really going to pull for, obviously, the United States tonight up against a pretty physical team in Canada as well. And, I kind of want Mexico to come back and win this game so we can get a rematch and say, hey, Mexico, no.
Yeah, that's true.
No.
That would be nice.
And it would be nice to have a dos a cero.
Sure.
For the U.S.
Dos
women to go along with the men. Be on equal footing there. So
I wanna,
excited
I wanna,
for that.
I want to keep it in our part of the pond here. I want to talk about CONCACAF a little bit the amount of MLS teams that are doing well.
Yeah.
New England, it's the 64th minute, and they're up 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've historically struggled in these competitions because of our calendar.
Sure.
Like these other teams they're playing against are in the middle of their seasons, where our guys basically, they've had maybe one or two regulars. I don't know if the regular season has begun for MLS.
Well,
which shows you what a terrible fan I am, and also what a terrible, terrible idea it was to make it a contract with Apple TV. I have Apple TV.
That's bad.
But you have to buy another package to get the MLS games.
Yeah.
And I think that is just ridiculous. That is not a way to grow the game. That is not a way to get it in front of everybody.
Sure.
But that said, the MLS doesn't care about growing the game in America. They care about making money, and they've made that very, very clear.
And that's sad because we're three game matches into the season, and there's been some really good soccer being played. Obviously, Inter Miami is going to be one where we are like, oh my God, they're going to be great. But I got to be honest with you. From my home state, the two Ohio teams are really solid.
I mean, and, defending champs.
I mean, you know, Columbus, the crew, my team, and then you know Cincinnati FC. They absolutely can ball. That's oh wow, that be. Is a what?
Oh,
what?
running away from it. Didn't call it.
Wow. She went to ground way too early.
Looked like the play for United the other day, too, when Rashford got brought down. Wow. A little disappointed in that.
Wow. But, yeah, I mean, it's all setting up to be a really, really good season for MLS, but the problem is most people won't see it because of the Apple TV.
What are your thoughts on how – I mean – look, you've got arguably one of the greatest players of all time in Lionel Messi playing in Inter Miami, which is awesome. I think it's cool that he decided to come here. But that's a draw to get the casual fan that, oh, I know that name. But if you want the MLS to be an excellent league, we got to quit hiring guys that are 35 years old going for one last contract. And I don't understand why we can't learn our lesson on this. If you don't want to come here when you're 25 years old, and why would you? I mean, if you if you are one of the top players in the world, you're not coming to MLS in the same way that you're not going to Ligue 1 unless it's probably PSG and very few other teams. Marseille and Lyon have not been the clubs that they have historically been in the last decade or so.
Most are going to look for the Bundesliga Premier
League. Look, you are going to England, Spain, or Italy.
Or Germany.
To play.
I think you could go to Germany.
I think there are a lot of Americans who've done well in Germany, but it's never been at Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich is the only big club. That's a hell of a point.
In Germany, whereas, you know, Italy's got a history with, you know, you've got Roma, you've got Lazio, you've got AC Milan, Inter Milan, Juventus. I mean, some really classic clubs there, and it would be an honor for a lot of Americans to go there. It's Gondavar. And obviously England and Spain would be huge. I would love to see an American come through and end up at Madrid or Barcelona. That would be fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see here. All right. No, defender makes contact with the ball.
But she's already been fouled. She's already been fouled by this point by the one who comes across her. Is it number four?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four fouls her. Number two. And if number four doesn't foul her, she gets the next touch. That's the only reason number two gets the ball. This is what made me mad about the play the other day with Marcus Rashford as well. You can't say he didn't get to the ball first because he didn't get to the ball first because of he was getting fouled.
Yep.
So to me, the fact that they've brought her over, I don't know that you're going to call it a penalty, but again, her next touch is probably going to be in the box. So potentially. No, that foul's well outside the box. They just get their momentum, slides them in. So that should be a free kick just inside the D.
I hate it when I foul outside the box.
Don't you?
Yeah, I know. I hate it.
Sometimes.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, what that brings us to is our...
We need to get a theme song for this segment somehow.
Yeah, we do. Wait. How about...
No, that's not bad. That is not bad. Why do we have multiple applauses?
Oh, we do. Wow. Look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
I didn't know you could do that. Learning new things after having this thing for like 2 years. Isn't this fun?
We are at the yellow and red card segment of our show, and we're adding a twist to it. Aaron, in his wisdom, actually has thought about this,
which in retrospect seems like a bad idea since I have no idea what I'm about to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do. So here's what we're doing. Add a new wrinkle into it. You know how it is in regular matches where you get one yellow card, you're okay. Mm-hmm. But when you get that second,
you get a red. And I know this for a variety of reasons.
So here's what we're doing. Aaron is going to give out two yellow cards and then culminate everything with the red card. So, Aaron, who do I write as a booking tonight?
I'm going to stick with it. We touched on it earlier, and I'm going to say MLS, and it's not Apple TV's fault. You know, they bid and they put money into it, but... Okay. The way the MLS has behaved toward the U.S. Open Cup,
yes,
and saying they're not going to commit teams to it. It's the oldest club competition in the United States. It's it's just fantastic for the game because it's our version of the FA Cup, where, you know, a team, you know, there was a team called the San Francisco Seals, and they were not, they were semi-pro.
Interesting.
And any team can enter the tournament if you can afford to get there.
Okay.
And they made it all the way to the semifinals one year. So it has that, it has that, does this go in?
No.
No, okay. It has that, it's like, what was it? Was it Maidstone? Six tier of English football and got this far in the FA Cup to the last round. Ended up getting knocked out by Coventry City. Pretty handily, to be fair, but it's the dream. It's the dream, and I tell you what, if you're somebody playing low level football, and I tell you what's cool, I didn't know this, but the last time, I want to say the last time a lower tier club made it that far in the tournament, I'm gonna get this completely wrong because I can't remember who he played for, but Paul Mullen of Wrexham fame scored a goal against Manchester United.
Super Paul Mullen.
Scored a banger, because that's pretty much all Paul Mullen does is score bangers.
Yes.
Also, watch that show.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, I got to say, yellow card to MLS for their behavior lately in general, both the U.S. Open Cup and this whole Apple TV thing. It's just a debacle.
Absolutely.
And they sent promotional materials.
Brazil up 2-0.
Promoting Inter Milan and their cadre of former Barcelona players to all the clubs, to like bar owners and stuff like that. Like, wow. Like a Minnesota FC supporter is going to put that up? No. Sorry, I'm going to put up stuff for my own team. Yeah, and exactly. Look, you can market your league anytime, any way you want to, but if you think we're going to do that work for you, no.
No.
That's silly. That'd be like the Indy 11 putting up the Detroit FC.
Yeah, that just makes no sense.
Stuff whatsoever. In here. So I really, really don't get it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, my friend, who gets the second yellow card tonight?
UEFA. For their asinine rejiggering of the Champions League. It will not look anything at all like it does currently. It's a cup competition, but it's no longer. It's basically a league. It's them backdooring the Super League in a lot of ways, in my opinion. And I just think, I get it. It costs a lot. This sport costs a lot, and if you want the best players, you got to spend some money. And these TV contracts and everything are massive. It's huge, but at some point, you have to put the game first.
Yeah.
And MLS in their situation, UEFA in their situation, I just don't get it. I think it's a failure on the part of both of those organizations to see the bigger picture. And as a fan of this game, that's frustrating. And, you know, it's been going on. You know, at the very first time we paused for a TV timeout in the middle of an NFL game or a basketball game was when it was over. You've said we have ceded control to the money.
Yeah.
And I'm not blinders on. I get it. No. You know, I support Manchester United. We are one of the marquee clubs, and we throw money around.
Absolutely.
But I think it's still, even with the Glazers, with an eye on trying to win things.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating.
Man,
it's just
frustrating. So with that being said, my friend, two yellow cards. Who gets the red card?
Red card to James Comer and all of this foolishness going on in our government right now. And it's got nothing to do with actual policy. It's the politics of politics.
Yes.
And it's really getting to the point where I don't even understand how to take them seriously mm-hmm. when they legitimately like based their entire thing on a guy who was a foreign asset of Russia. I mean, I can remember a time when Russia and all that was taboo. You didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And it's not because they've become all cute and cuddly.
Right.
Like, there's right. a KGB agent in charge of the country that actively wants to destroy our country, and we're doing his bidding.
Oh.
So these people are morons. And what's worse is, I don't understand the people who continue to support this. How do you not see this rat fuckery
yes.
for what it is? So, red card, and he and you know they'll say fake news. I didn't get a red card, but I just gave you a red card. So really, really
yes,
kind of
got a red card.
Kind of sick of this whole thing. So if you thought that was going to be about sports, folks, you haven't been watching this show for
well,
a long time.
And that's the thing is that this segment is. Kind of tailor-made to bring back, you know, some elements of our former show. And, you know,
yes.
I just want to add on there, man. Yes, you're talking about Russia, but I'm talking about in general. Like, we've proven time and time again, you cannot legislate morality.
Right.
We tried that with civil rights, and people still hate people. You
yeah.
know, so you cannot legislate morality. Yes, it helps, especially with the civil rights type deal, but when you try to take away people's rights and stuff like that, when you try to say, hey, maybe this faction or this, you know, whatever regime is not as bad as what we think it is, you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes.
The parallels right now with, like, 1933 Germany are...
It's scary, dude.
As a historian, you yes. have to be looking at this going,
I had this discussion
are you
day.
Kidding me?
Yep.
We're legit doing this again, huh?
Had this discussion the other day with my really close friend who's a historian. He's a globalist. And I looked him in the eye and I said, how close are we to this being fascism? And he's like, oh. He goes, there's... And he said the words you did. There's so many parallels.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't want to be an alarmist, but there are so many parallels. This could go a lot, obviously, it could go different than what it did then. But boy, the supporters of these people making these stupid decisions yep. and making these outlandish claims are...
Some of the yeah. optimism I have right now is the fact that we're seeing things like Donald Trump is not garnering the percentage of votes that you would expect in a primary. Right, he doesn't have the level of support. In fact, people are voting against him, voting for other candidates.
Yes.
Fox News did a whiteboard last night basically showing how good things are under Biden's economy. Karl Rove had a checklist of things that everything is going wrong. So I'm hopeful for positive change in the world and us leading it. I'm also looking at foreign real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. Montenegro. There you go.
Maybe doing this podcast from Ireland
next year. Hey, that sounds good. That sounds good. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's where we're at with our podcast. We are at our ending segment, believe it or not. Wow. Wow. We're going to make the gram again. We are
zooming.
On the street, dude.
We are.
On the street. So, we are at our ending segment, and this is for the drunk crowd in the back. Hey, it is the Hey Aaron segment. What that is, basically, not Hey Aaron. Dang. Oh, jeez. Anyways, the Aaron's final thoughts. I haven't had that much to eat today, my friend. So, anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
It's all good. I got to check one thing first.
Aaron's final thoughts. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of our podcast. This is the time where Aaron gets a chance to kind of just send us out with some positivity or a kick in the ass, whichever one he chooses, or a combination of the both. But, ladies and gentlemen, it was wonderful being here with you. Thank you so much for listening, joining us. Please share this with your friends. We just love sitting talking about soccer. And speaking of loving sitting
that's
talking
an
about soccer,
excellent goal. Is this a third goal, or is this just a replay
boom.
Of the second?
That is a banger.
That's a right gorgeous here, goal. That is a gorgeous goal. Brazil is putting in work on Mexico tonight.
They are taking it.
But that is that's.
I think
let's
it's
see.
The second goal. I think it's
is
the
it the second goal?
Goal?
Okay, yes. that's pretty. I didn't see it in real time. I just saw the celebration, that was a really really nice goal.
Yeah, that was nice. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for everything you do and for supporting us, because you know We got your back, and we support you. So, Aaron, what do you got for us tonight, my friend?
Well, took us a minute to get to it last month, but had a good talk about, you know, being Black History Month, and you know, it's everyone's history, but it's important to kind of seek out and make yourself aware of specific people's history. It is now Women's History Month. Yeah. And I want to just kind of generally say, while it can be kind of like, why do we have these things? Well, it's so that it puts it first and foremost in your mind. It makes you say, oh, okay, I'm going to think about that. And I think what we have going on in women's soccer right now, touched on it earlier, I think it's fantastic. And hopefully... Oh, and Friday is International Women's Day. So hug an international woman on Friday. Ask her first. Don't be the president of Spanish football. But I think it behooves us to make sure, you know, we're aware of these important people in our history, important women doing good things for us right now. Sorry, I think Kamala's doing a good job. It's a little quiet behind the scenes, but I think she's doing a great job.
I do too.
And I'll just say a big thanks to Kyrsten Sinema for finally fucking off.
Thank you, God. The biggest Karen of all.
She's bad.
Jeez.
I don't know. Carrie Lake kind of sucks too.
Well, she's not a Karen. She's just a moron.
True. Yeah, that's... Well,
and that's putting it lightly. There's lots of names I could call
that
her.
Venn diagram looks like an egg, man.
We just got through saying, "Hey, happy International Women's Day."
Yeah, now we're shedding. Yeah. Kind of, yeah. So that's unfair. You know, exactly. That's unfair because you know what? at the end of the day, they believe they're doing something important. the irony is, I think they would vote against women's issues at pretty much every turn. So, if you're a woman, A, salute you, and B, vote for the people who have your best interests at heart, okay? People have been trying to take away reproductive rights, taking away in vitro fertilization. An embryo is a human being. If you disagree with this, you have a duty and an obligation to make your voice heard and make it heard loudly, so that we have a country that resembles something that we care about moving forward, because the plan is out there, folks. Mm. They're not hiding it. They're telling us exactly who they are, and when somebody does that, believe them. So happy Women's History Month. Happy International Women's Day on Friday. Hashtag say women.
Gay.
Hashtag say gay.
Hashtag Black People Vote. Ladies and gentlemen, what that did was bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for watching and participating and, I don't know, maybe even commenting later on. Who knows?
Hit us up.
Let us know how you feel about all this stuff. Guys, we love you. Take care. Peace.
Oh, we missed Shelby.
Wait, what? Shelby was here?